From LoveXX, this is The Periodical, where we speak with people who want to advocate change and stop the global menstruation stigma. And hey, I'm your host, Jesse Braun.
Today in The Periodical, we are doing a recap of the Cycles and Sex event that took place here in New York City. Trey and I, we talk about what we loved about the event, and also on this episode, we are featuring the keynote speaker, Alisa Vitti. Now, we understand that the audio quality is not as great as we normally would like to have, but due to the circumstances of the Cycles and Sex event, you can sort of hear the panel going on in the background, so we apologize for that. However, Alisa Vitti was very understanding that as podcast hosts, we want to deliver the best audio quality for our listeners, and she has agreed to come on for her own separate interview for an episode in season 2, which is really exciting. So stay tuned to listen to Alisa Vitti's interview in this episode and be prepared for it coming up in season 2. And I'm here with Trey.
Hey. I went Cycles and Sex as well, and it was awesome.
It was like such a breath of fresh air. It was like all the greatest people coming together to just talk about vaginas and bodies and what it's like to have the anatomy of double X chromosomes.
Yeah, it was really nice being around a lot of period positive people, and just, you know, it was a very positive energy and everyone was excited to be there. I really loved how it just felt really inclusive, and even me being, you know, straight white guy or whatever, like, I felt welcome there too. It was really nice. I really enjoyed every moment that was there, and I would absolutely attend again.
Yeah, the event itself was just, like, buzzing with energy. Like, the most incredible energy.
It was like people were smiling the whole time. It was really cool.
Yeah, it was really awesome. And I think it's, I just want to say that in one episode that I talk about my dream, which is to open like a Sephora, but that's all specifically, you know, menstrual products that are for the vagina or female anatomy. And, but not like a sex shop, like those exist, right? But like,
it had everything, you know, like this was kind of like,
no, but that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm saying this was that basically, as close to that as you could get. It was awesome.
It was very cool.
Like, I'm still high. Like, this was a week ago, over a week ago, and I'm still just, like, gushing.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm sure we'll get more into the specifics of everything, but they had things about sex, they had things about menstruation, they had things about fertility. They even had things about fertility being, like, they had panels with experts where fertility was not just a thing of, like, oh, are my eggs functional? It was, like, what are you eating and when are you eating it? And like, it was very specific, and like the, you know, the four different stages of the female cycle, and like, it was really, really great information, and really great information for significant others too.
Definitely. And just to tap on to the fertility bit before we dive into our official recap, I think it's important to note that in this Cycles and Sex event did an incredible job of bringing this to light, but whether you're trying to have a baby or not, you want your body to be fertile and functioning properly. And we have all the cool tips of how to make that happen.
Yeah. It was great.
All right. So, Trey, what did you learn? What were you most like, oh, light bulb?
I think the thing that was most surprising to me was when I saw how many people were there and how active everyone was and how happy everyone was and how excited they were. Because we kind of work in this, I don't know, even when I'm telling people about our podcast, which we work really hard on, it's still awkward and somewhat, I don't know, people still have shame, you know, involved with it. Even when I'm just telling them about, like, I'm passionate about it, I care about this, and they're like, oh, menstruation. And it's like, no, like, we should all be dealing with this. But I think, like I said, I think the most interesting thing, the coolest thing I learned was how big the community could be. and is if we would just, you know, be more open.
What did you learn?
Okay, I learned so much. So first and foremost, in the keynote address by Alyssa Vitti, which we, yes, we do have a recorded interview with her at the event that you will hear later in this episode, so stay tuned. But what she said to me was really mind-boggling. She's, you know, been in this field and her career for 20 years, and she said this is only the second time she's ever been to an event that was very menstruation focused in all her 20 years. And I just thought, like, for something that is like going on for like a quarter of your life, why are we giving such little attention to it? But thank God we're doing something now.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was, I guess, my shock factor. But what I actually learned that I thought was really fascinating, and I do touch on this a little bit in the interview later in the episode with Alyssa, is she made a comment about how women's fluids aren't always being utilized socially, culturally, scientifically at all. And I think a perfect example that she uses in our mainstream pornography, you know, it's always about men's semen. Like the bodily fluid that takes the stage is sperm. And we don't really think about what's happening with the female body, even though within the female body you can grow and birth a child, and that the vaginal fluids during that childbirth, like when you coat the infant in that, it like
protects it from disease and sickness.
It does, like, whatever's in that vaginal mucus and fluid, it does like incredible things for the infant, and yet nobody is really doing any research on that. They're doing like fecal matter research or it's something. Really, so it's like, we're just, I don't know, chew on that. Okay, what did you love, Trey?
I loved interacting with all the other passionate vendors and people that were in attendance. I thought it was really cool that it was sponsored by Pleasure Chest. I thought that was really interesting. It was great to talk to people, even if it was, you know, certain booths that I may have found a little bit curious or interesting. I mean, there was the V-Steams, where you would kind of get your selection of fresh herbs and different scents, and you would use like mortar and pestle to like grind them up, and I guess you would I briefly read the instructions. You like grind up your herbs and then you put them together almost like a tea with like a steaming pot of water, and you would like crouch over it and let the steam and air steam your V. It's a V steam. And I thought that was interesting. The best part about that was that when Jessica was making hers, the lady also said, like, actually, this is a great recipe for pork. And so I thought that was really funny, but you know, that was one of the interesting ones for sure.
The V Steam, they have like a location that happens to be in like the neighborhood next to mine here in New York City. I was like, I'm going to ride my bike right over. I would get a V Steam and I'm going to ride on home. Like, and not only was the V Steam cool, so the product that I basically fell in love with upon stumbling on their booth, they actually had quite a big booth and they had like really great little demonstrators, but it was called FemiCycle Cup. Currently wearing it now. Today is my heaviest day. Today is day one. It's like a globe. They even had like a low cervix. I was like, that's me, panned it over. But it's like, it's short, but it's wide. It's like wider than most sort of like short menstrual cups. And it has like this leak proof like fold. We're going to review it in season two. Anyway, it's amazing. It's changing my life. I can't believe it.
Yeah, you seem pretty happy with it.
So excited. I even like came out. So I came home from work, no leaks. I didn't leak all day. Came home, emptied it out, really satisfied, put it back in. And then later in the evening, I pulled it out just to show Trey. I was like, check this out. So I was so happy.
There was one booth for me. So it's called Shock Rubs. And these are crystal dildos and like sex toys. They come in like a variety of different things, like dildos and crystal massage wands and little egg-shaped things. And it wasn't necessarily that that was the most interesting part to me, but when we were interacting with the people there, I picked up a couple and looked at them. And, you know, like, I bought you rose quartz before, and, like, it's supposed to have, like, healing love energies and, like, stress-relieving ones. But, like, all of the different toys had different, they were made of different crystals. So when I picked up one of them, the lady that was working the booth said, you know, that one has a really great energy. And for just a moment there, I felt kind of like it was Harry Potter-esque, I guess. like the different crystals and like the different energies coming from them. So that was...
I didn't realize that you had found your wand.
I did. I found my crystal dildo. But yeah.
The only one criticism I think we really had was that it was pretty loud because there was... more people showed up than was expected, which is
awesome.
Is amazing.
What a great problem to have.
It's not really a problem. So it was a little bit loud and slightly distracting as the panelists were speaking, because then you could also sort of hear a little bit of the buzz of what was going on downstairs in the demonstration and like tabled area.
Yeah.
Oh, and it was really cool because we also got to interview Dr. Eden Fromberg, who is a holistic gynecologist here in New York City. And she was on a panel about period problems and was super informative about PCOS and endometriosis and had a lot of really awesome things to say. We interviewed her, but however, the recording equipment wasn't working with all of the different background. And so luckily... Dr. Fromberg has agreed to join us in season 2 so we can dive into more of these issues. She's very insightful and we can't wait to have her on.
I think another thing that was kind of a sad thing, but isn't really, was we weren't able to attend all of the events because there were things going on at the same time that we wanted to do. It was kind of that, convention experience on a smaller scale, but like the Pleasure Chest was doing demonstrations on things while there were experts speaking, and then we had interviews with, experts too. So, and then all of the amazing booths and panels, and it was really, there was enough going on that I felt busy all day and exhausted when we came home.
Yeah, the time went by so quickly, fast. And I did feel FOMO, like, the entire time. Like, I would move to do something else, and I would be, like, having fear of missing out on something else because there was so much good happening.
We had calendars booked.
And we literally had like cell phone alerts going off of like where we had to be and when. Another really cool thing that I wanted to bring up was the documentary screening.
Yeah, that was cool.
Called Sweetening the Pill with Ricky Lake.
Mm-hmm.
Ricky Lake herself was there with a puppy. And oh my God, the puppy was cute and Ricky was cute with the puppy. But Sweetening the Pill was really kind of eye-opening. Like, as someone who has PCOS and as someone who isn't on birth control, side note, I did go to my regular doctor today to get a prescription for Ambien for a trip that I'm going on in a few weeks just to fly. My doctor asked me if I had any conditions. And I was like, oh, yeah, you have PCOS. And she goes, okay, well, list your medications. And I said, I'm not taking any medication. And she's like, you're not on the pill? She gave me like a nasty look and I was like, no. She's like, are you getting your cycle regularly? And I was like, yes. And I'm just like, this doctor should have gone to the cycles and sex event. She would have been informed. She wouldn't have been condescending. She wouldn't have asked me that question. And if she would have seen Sweetening the Pill, she would have known that studies, we don't know what's going to happen. Like, we don't really have long-term examples of what will happen with birth control.
Sure. I mean, I think the Sweetening the Pill with Abby Epstein is the filmmaker there. I mean, they're still kind of figuring out what the long-term effects of the pill are. I think the film addressed more than just it being a bad thing. It addressed how, the pill originally was like a huge step in, women's empowerment and owning their own sexuality and being able to have control over their cycle. But it also addressed how it doesn't regulate your cycle. It tricks your cycle. It prevents it from happening. which isn't letting you have your natural timing. It definitely, the sweetening the pill, I think it had some grim storytelling in it too, but real about, you know, young women who have died from the different birth control methods. It wasn't just about the pill. So I feel like we don't know yet because they're still making the movie, but it covers a lot of things.
Right, because it's a documentary. And it's, and to be specific, this is about hormonal birth control. Birth control.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's a very gray and nuanced area for so many reasons, as you all, I'm sure, know. Like, you know, it's liberated women from having 14 kids.
Yeah. I think what it highlighted the most, though, for sure, was... they had interviews with women on there, and they asked them, hey, what pill are you on? Or, you know, do you know what's in what you're taking? And I think most people, I certainly have no freaking clue. You know, that's something that's kind of scary when you think about it. You have no idea what you're putting in your body. And if you're doing the wrong one, it does have potential to have really bad
right.
Things.
Right. And another concern that they brought up is, like, girls are getting put on the pill as early as 13.
Yeah.
Younger. Yeah. And then they're on it for 10 years.
Yeah.
And they go off and their hormones are totally, like...
And you're on it while you're maturing and, you know, things are changing and you're putting chemicals in while you're already having chemical changes.
There's just a lot to unpack with hormonal birth control, essentially. It was... I'm really excited to see the documentary when it comes out. Watch out for you guys. Watch out for it. Sweetening the pill.
Yeah, that was really cool. Another thing that I thought was really great was and there was specifically a panel about it where Jess actually asked a good question. And it was the Fertility from All Angles panel. And it was with Jill Blakeway and Dr. Jill Blakeway and Dr. Joseph Davis.
Who we were supposed to have interviews with. But we kind of got behind schedule on things, and we were unable to interview with them at the event. But hopefully, fingers crossed, we can bring them on for season 2 and reschedule our interview with those two doctors.
But what was really fascinating about that one was the cross-section at Cycles and Sex that was Western medicine and Chinese medicine and, like, holistic care. And dieting, and, like, it was an all-encompassing view on health and fertility and, you know, politics and your privates, and, like, there were so many things that were covered. But I really did like how from a medical perspective, at least, they weren't just pushing, oh, here's birth control and you should take pills, or you shouldn't take pills and you should do all natural. It was, there were experts from both sides, and they actually worked together, and it was cool, you know, to see how they interacted that way.
Yeah, I really think it's beautiful to see Chinese medicine and Western medicine working together in tandem. And I wish that was more plausible for other people or other doctors.
Were there anything about the event that you felt that were kind of a letdown?
Kind of a letdown.
I know one for me. Yeah. And I felt like for the whole crowd, like... It was, everyone was in attendance for the female orgasm panel. And I don't know that we really learned anything. It was kind of a bummer. Yeah. I was excited. I think everyone in the room was, like, really pumped up, and, like, there were loud cheers and everything. And then we basically learned kind of what we went in there with, which was that all women are different and their biologies, while being similar, are not the same. There are some general emotions that are helpful. There was a nice graphic on the screen at one point that showed some movement.
Yeah, it showed a lot of, like, how, like, the whole, like, the clitoris as a whole.
Yeah.
Not as a whole, like a vaginal hole, like, as a whole, as in, whole, like,
thing, like, it, cluster
the
of
inside
nerves
the vagina, things. Outside the vagina.
Yeah. I mean, it said, like, things about, you know, the nerves can be stimulated from other areas. Yeah. And that was kind of...
I did also sort of agree that the audience, the reaction of the audience, and even Trey and I...
It just got quiet.
It was like as soon as the presentation ended, it was kind of like, wait, that's it?
We were waiting but, for that secret song.
Yeah, I guess we were. I think that we have been conditioned as humans to be like, okay, cosmopolitan. Like,
and here's the solution.
Here's the solution. What are these next 10 steps? What am I going to be eating? What am I going to be rubbing? What's my secret? Here's
that special move that no one tells you. Yeah. It wasn't there.
But what it really ended up being is don't fake.
Yeah.
Stop faking orgasms. And I actually posted on social media. I think I took a photo on my phone. So essentially in the panel that was all about the female orgasm, she had a slide that said equality and the female orgasm gap. 75 to 80% of women report they do not orgasm from penetrative sex alone every time. Yet 98% of men report they make their partners orgasm every single time. Someone's lying. So women are faking it and men are believing it. Don't fake it. And another big point of her lecture was, yeah, like we have so many nerve endings in our rectum and so many on your clitoris or wherever, but it ranges, right? Like there's like a range. Not everyone has the same. So some people may enjoy like stimulation through anal more than others, or maybe some people like more of like a clitoris stimulation more. Everyone's different, and like even the stigma that we have based on orgasm and sex alone is like stupid, because everybody's body is unique and different. Whatever works for them works for them.
The point she made about faking it was really good, in that women are only hurting themselves by faking it. It may be good in that moment, but it just teaches bad habits, essentially, I guess. So that was, I think, good for everyone in the room to think about. But all in all, I think we all showed up for like a special secret sauce, and there just isn't one. And I think that's the key lesson behind the whole thing. But the event was amazing, and I would go back this weekend if it was going.
Yeah. I think the secret sauce is know your body, know what you like, know how to pleasure it, and don't be afraid to go for that pleasure and make sure your partner is also.
And communicate.
Yeah, of course. Communicate.
Yeah.
So, overall, I purchased two things. I purchased a Lunette cup and I purchased Thinks panties. Thinks was there. They seem to be bouncing back just fine.
They're representing, and they should be there. You know?
It was. They've done huge things for the menstrual movement, and it's cool to see them. Cool to buy a pair of Thinks.
It was really great.
Actually wearing my Thinks right now.
Yeah. It was really great to see all the different companies and experts that were very much stressing how little things that we do, little decisions every day, do affect your body. So yeah. That was cool.
You are what you eat.
And there were tiger nuts, whatever those were. Those were delicious.
It was a great event. They even had like a little cafe there for lunch. I'm excited to see what the event's going to look like the next time they do it. And hopefully we can do some sort of collab with them. Trey just pulled out of our swag bag a Fertile Girl Superfood Nutrition Bar.
And I can't wait to try it. It's cinnamon almond with ingredients like maca and goji.
Oh, yum.
That sounds good.
Sounds so good.
My Fertile Girl Nutrition Bar. It's gluten-free and non-GMO. And I was told specifically that they're not just for women. So I can't wait to eat this.
Thanks, Cycles and Sex, for allowing Trey and I to attend. Again, I know that we already had an episode where we highlighted and spoke directly with the founders. But I just want to give them another quick shout out. So this co-created by Brilliant Bodies, which is founded by Natalia Hales and Ashley Spivak, and then also Lauren Billy.
Thank you so much, ladies.
Yeah, thank you, ladies, for letting us come and learn and love and network.
And we're excited to come next year or next 6 months or whenever you ever do it again.
Yeah.
Let us know.
And then also thank you to those who came and said hello to us. That was fun. If anyone is planning or thinking of doing anything similar, reach out to me, let me know, and see what I can do to help or assist or, you know, be a part of helping something like this come to life again. Okay, Elisa Vitti is the author of the book Woman Code, which says perfect your cycle, amplify your fertility, supercharge your sex drive, and become a power source. So Elisa Vitti, essentially her story is she had PCOS and she wasn't getting the answers from the Western doctors that she wanted, which I feel like was like my literal exact same story when I had PCOS. So I really connected with her, you know, her personal story, and then read this book and began trying to adapt the principles of this book into my lifestyle. She calls it flow living. It's like a proven system to naturally eliminate problems with your period, improve your fertility, and get your body, mood, and sex drive back. Now, if you go to www.flowliving.com, you can go and figure out what your V sign is. You can take a quiz that will tell you what your bleed means. And for me, I've taken the quiz several times and it always comes back that my progesterone is low because when I first start bleeding, I just have sort of like a prune, juicy, very spotty situation that's happening. When in actuality, according to Elisa Vitti, you should have a very healthy, very bright, fresh bleed, which should look like cranberry juice. So check it out. Go to Flow Living. Download her app. It's like $2. Track your cycle. And then get some little tips on how to like eat for your cycle. And you know, what is your bleed actually telling you? Her website will let you know. Also, Elisa Vitti's book is really eye-opening for a lot of reasons. More than just someone who has PCOS or endometriosis. She just talks a lot about, you know, like really great things to like have a fertile, normal, properly working body. And despite whether or not you're wanting to have children, having a fertile working system is healthy and natural for your body. And that's something that I feel like all women should really strive for. Welcome to the periodical. Hi.
Hi, nice to be here.
So, Elisa did the keynote address and it was incredible, really empowering. It did send a lot of, you know, information back to the book that she wrote, which is The Woman Code, which I know we've talked about several times on this podcast and how much we love it. And I guess something I ask a lot of my guests is what do you have a memorable period to you?
Oh, well, I mean, I think what's memorable about my early period days was that I just wasn't getting my period, and it was so late to start, and then it wouldn't come, and it was so problematic for like a decade. And I think then second to that was just when I figured out the protocol and applied it to my own body, the way my body responded was so memorable because it was like a complete and utter 180 to go from not ovulating and not menstruating to ovulating and menstruating every single month for the past 17 years. It's like you can't, it really flies in the face of conventional wisdom about cyclical problems and menstrual health issues, and I love that, seeing that not only in myself but every woman we've helped.
So I know that you talk about the cranberry color being the most ideal sort of period blood situation. How did it feel when you first saw you had your perfect period with the perfect cranberry blood regularly?
I mean, it was exciting because I'm a researcher, you know, and a scientist. And so it was like, eureka, you know, it works. And that was really the big, for me, just the motivation to take the protocol out to the mainstream, to make it accessible to every woman and to build a place where you could bring your period problems that was universally accessible, because we don't have one. Outside of flowliving.com, there is not a global, scalable, affordable healthcare program for women's menstruation, but now there is.
Which is really incredible, the work you've done. Also, something that Elisa's famous for is going on Dr. Oz, and that she uses simulated period blood, but it looks really real because, I mean, I don't know.
It's fruit juice on little white plates, but it was very controversial, and they weren't sure that they wanted to have me on because they were really worried about offending people because it had never been done on national television or any TV, really. But Dr. Oz himself was like, make the dishes bigger, let's do this. He was so supportive, and I'm just thrilled at what's happened as a result. You know, we have the period typing quiz on our site that you can use as an auditing tool, and the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecologists is now backing up our claims with their decree, really helping women understand that their period is a fifth vital sign that they need to take seriously.
So for the periodical, our goal is to help with this stigma. And I can't think of anything more challenging than to get simulated period blood on TV and to even create a business around this sort of thing. So my question to you is, how has it been for you to navigate through the period stigma for the past 20 years of your career? Because you've done an amazing job. But I guess, like, what are the challenges and how do you get past those?
It has been a arduous, long ride. And I would say that the thing that keeps me going is the fact that the women who we help, you know, keep telling their friends, their sisters, and keep sending us more people to help. And so I'm motivated by that because everything else, all the other obstacles, are huge. So we're really, we go right, I don't know, through them by going directly to the consumer who needs it. I'm not trying to necessarily take down whatever. I'm just like, let me just go help the people that need the help. Because when we really go at that deeper level, things will bubble up to the surface and things will change in our culture as a result of each woman shifting the relationship with her own cycle. It starts with you. It's the power of your period, your individual period, and how you care for it. Doesn't just change whether you have symptoms or not. It changes how you interact with other women, how you interact with your creativity, what you choose to focus on. I cannot tell you how many women have reinvented their careers after they do our program because they're themselves and they're able to access that creativity and that passion in a way that they couldn't when their hormones were imbalanced. So that's really what is most motivating to me, is to really work with each woman. We change ourselves individually and the world changes around us, and we have all the feminist history to look at to see how true that is. When women make a decision about what they're going to think, what they want, it changes.
What I found really useful in your keynote address, actually, to go to a different topic, is when you talk about the body fluids that always take precedent, like in, you know, mainstream pornography, it's always the male's juices versus the female. And the points that you made about science, how we're totally ignoring vaginal fluids when they literally will heal a baby, you know, for the C-section or things like that. That's like incredible research. And is there anything that you're doing or you know of or someone is like trying to, like, I don't know, put vaginal fluids at the forefront of this sort of exploration?
No one's doing anything with it as far as I'm aware, and that's why I always pose the question, why is no one doing anything with it? Someone should be doing something with it, because I think it's a huge opportunity in our conversation around the microbiome to really improve our health. I mean, and then of course, most directly, anyone who's dealing with any sort of microbiome issue, if you're lucky enough to have a woman who will let you, have regular intimate conversations with someone's vagina, and you too can benefit from her vaginal secretions.
Definitely. So that's like a $1 billion science idea or invention that someone could be utilizing based off of the vaginal fluids that people are missing out on. So listeners, maybe you should look into that more. Okay, so as far as your four phases of your cycle goes, which one is your favorite?
I mean, I love them all. I mean, they're all so good. They all have such different fun things, and I really couldn't pick a favorite. I mean, I could tell you what I love about each one, but I think that when you really start to get into your flow and you really start living the cycle syncing lifestyle, you're going to feel the same way. You're going to be like, each one is so good. You look forward to each one. You plan for things differently. It's a whole different paradigm. Even the idea that one would be better than the other is from the old paradigm.
Sorry.
That's okay. That's okay. But the more you embrace every aspect of your cycle, none is better than the other.
So I know you eat specifically for your cycle. I'm trying to do that. Do you have a favorite snack?
Yeah, I have a favorite snack right now. My favorite snack right now are Kit's Organic Almond Coconut Bars. They're really high fat, low carb, excellent blood sugar stabilizing snack when you're in a pinch. Really good.
Kit's?
Kit's Organic.
Kit's Organic. Okay, we'll have to look at that. I guess for someone who's first starting out, they know they have problems, they want to get their flow, they're ready to get their sexy back. They open your book and they're totally uneducated in everything because, you know, Western medicine and United States education is so limiting. It can feel a little bit overwhelming.
Yes.
Do you have any advice to help someone sort of not give up when they're overwhelmed, but sift through? Like, what's your tips to not be overwhelmed and to deal?
That's exactly why I created the monthly flow program at the Virtual Hormone Center, because, you know, you can have me handhold you through the process in a very small, spoon-fed way, each step of the protocol, each food experiment. Don't try to change everything. You have to do the right steps first and get them anchored in your habits. And that's why I prefer people to actually do the online program, because then you have greater success. Making the changes slowly over time is the right way to do it. In fact, our desire as women to do it all right now comes from our patriarchal conditioning and our training to be squeezing ourselves into that right now masculine time paradigm of their hormonal pattern. There's a distinction between chronos time, chronological time, and kairos time. Both Greek terms referring to timing. Chronological time is more of a masculine energy term. Right now it's 12:51 and it's 12:52. It's just marking the passage of time. Letting the passage of time dictate how you organize yourself is extremely stressful and taxing, and it doesn't take into consideration kairos time. The best analogy I have for kairos time is the way plants grow. There's a timing to it. It's not just about what time is it, did I meet my deadlines, and can I do it all faster? It's what's the right pacing for my healing? How much time does my body need to go through this process? And allowing for that timing is a feminine principle. And we as women struggle with that because we're so conditioned to be in our masculine energy. And it can be a piece of the self-sabotaging that happens when you begin any healing protocol.
So what do you do to help? You're probably really solid.
Cycle thinking, because cycle thinking keeps you in kairos time. You always have enough time based on where you are in the cycle, and you're not being run by the 24-hour male clock.
So people need to download your app.
Sure.
That's at iTunes. Where can they get that?
Go to myflowtracker.com, and both links for Google Play and iTunes are there.
I downloaded it last night. It's like $2, yeah. Tons of information. And I know a lot of period apps like mine your data. Does yours do that? No. Hers doesn't do that, you guys. So the government is on to you. Switch apps now before all your private information is lost.
Very nice.
It was really fun to meet Elisa Vitti and have her come on the podcast. She has a lot of really great insight. And what she's talking about, just so you guys know, is flow living. It's www.flowliving.com. Flow living. Okay, and the greatest thing ever is May 28th. This month, in just a matter of weeks, it is going to be International Menstrual Hygiene Awareness Day. So here at the Periodical, we're doing a giveaway. Now, some of our fellow period positive people in the period industry have generously agreed to donate some really, really cool giveaways. So be sure to follow us on Instagram and Facebook. That's XX, the Periodical, and you will find all the details there. You can also go to our website, www.love-xx.com, and find out all about the giveaway. We know you have a lot to say about periods, too.
We want to hear your stories and opinions. Go to love-xx.com. That's www.love-xx.com. Plus social media, Instagram and Facebook. We're there. Come hang with us. And of course, subscribe on iTunes. Every time somebody subscribes, a Menzie fairy gets her wings. Love, XX.